Seems like I have to search to lock this in. Let's see, I'm trying to lock. I'm locked in! Yes! It's Gloucester Cast 194. It's just me and Kim today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim Smith, 194, six away from 200.
Oh my God.
Very excited.
We better start talking about what we're going to do. We better figure that out.
I know. There's so many cool... I almost feel it. Okay, give me your ideas.
Well, I was wondering if it was going to be hard for you because you're so busy at this time of year. Like, it'll probably have to be, like, on a Saturday or something.
Well, that's into September, right? Six from now is second week of September.
Oh, okay. All right, so...
So, I mean, it's still busy, but it's not as busy. It's not... There's not as many restaurant orders. Like, you know, like, after Labor Day, this town, like, it's like... It doesn't matter. It could be, like... 80 degrees and perfectly sunny, and it doesn't matter. Like all the people, like the restaurants, just go, boop, weight down. Right. But we do have more of a shoulder season than we used to have. Used to be really more, actually much more dramatic of a drop off. For the restaurants.
And you call that a shoulder season?
Shoulder season is spring and fall.
Okay.
They try to, like, the whole idea for all the hotels in town and the restaurants in town and like the tourists, like the whale watches, to fill in the shoulder seasons.
Oh, okay. Huh.
The head being because
there's
a million tourists in the summer, but if you can get
from what
I understood, I talked to a guy that works at the hotel I think last week or something. They got a ton of overage from one of the Boston hotels. They sent the people to...
To Salem?
Oh. No, to Gloucester. Oh,
to the
Beaufort.
To the Beaufort?
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Wow.
That's
so cool. Things like the Schooner Festival that happened in September, right? So that's part of the shoulder season. Is that September? No.
It's Labor Day weekend, right?
Oh, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. But there's... I think we get a lot of residual from... Salem during the Halloween thing has actually blown up into like this bananas. I would hate to live in Salem for that.
Right.
But we get a lot of people that'll stay here for that. We also get the Leaf Peepers. There's a lot of people that travel up and down the coast leaf peeping.
They make Gloucester one of their destinations. Well, they should. It's so beautiful here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a no-brainer, right? So... We were talking about Craig made the video, and I guess your husband Tom is a big fan of Pastel Villa Corta.
Right, yes.
We think that's the way you say it.
We think.
It's on Center Street, right up the hill. If you're at Mark Adrian Shoe Store, you're looking out their front door up the hill.
Up the hill from there.
On the right hand side. Just before Middle Street.
And what was there before that you told me?
Bo's Juicery. Before that,
okay.
I forget what was there before that. Okay. It's a nice space though, but they sell fresh pasta. But what I'm most interested, I still haven't got there when they were open yet. Because I don't get out that much because we're busy this time of year.
Oh.
I'm dying, but the Romano cheese. Eric had a block of it at his house.
It's to die for.
It's to die for, and it's not expensive.
No, it's very reasonably, it's unbelievably reasonably priced. And it's the real thing, and it tastes beautiful. It goes with everything. It's fantastic.
The people that had Bo's Juicery, the mom, they bought a house on Page Street, and they just recently sold the house on Page Street, the yellow house that had... Do you know where Page Street is?
Yes, I love Page Street.
Okay, you know
it's
the yellow house that Danny Aparo just renovated? It's it's like one of the, maybe the second or third house on the
down
right.
On the right. Yes, it has pretty porches on it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So he renovated that a couple of years ago, and they bought it, and quickly are moving into a little place over by Niles, but they had a yard sale. We picked up some things at their yard sale.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Fun. Don't you love Page Street and Way Road down there? It's just so beautiful down there.
I love Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
My hood for a couple of years. I liked it. I loved it. I loved it. I think you're a neighborhood. You're in the neighborhood too.
Yeah.
Like that neighborhood to me is so central. East Gloucester. I'm shocked. So Kate and I we go for walks and a lot. Saturday mornings we go for a walk we went down Mount Pleasant yesterday. I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised that there's a lot of houses on Mount Pleasant that haven't been redone yet.
Oh, I know. Isn't that...
It's prime picking. Like you know what? These houses, there's a lot of houses that I just figure in another 10 years, just about every one of them is going to get, you know, renovated and stuff like that. There's
it's
one for sure.
It's kind of fun to see them, you know, to see the mixture. Like, I've been filming a lot down by Wingershiek Beach, and you'll go along, and there'll be, like, these beautiful, newly done...
Shingle-style,
gorgeous houses on the waterfront. And then the next one will be just this little teeny, teeny, tiny cottage that, you know, probably, like, 20 kids, you know, stayed there in the summer with their grandparents. And, you know, I kind of... I like seeing sort of the combination of both.
Yeah.
It makes it...
It's very eclectic. Mount Pleasant is still pretty eclectic. Yeah. There's still little pockets there.
And it's a very desirable street. It's shade lined with all the trees going down. It's beautiful. Beautiful street.
I loved it. I can't speak enough. So I was talking to some people. So do you know that, like, East Gloucester's, there's plans, like, it looks like that they're going to move. They're going to build, not move, but they're going to build East Gloucester, a new East Gloucester school.
Oh, a new elementary
school? There's talk of it going in that, they call it Marble Road Conservation Area, but it's, like, from what I'm understanding, it's really not conservation area. I don't know. But
what's wrong with their current location? Is it not big enough?
I guess not. I don't really know. I'm not involved in that school district. I mean, I have friends that have kids there, but they're talking about...
I thought it was conservation land up there.
I thought so too. But like Swinson's Field, I think the city owns Swinson's Field.
Field, yeah. But
and like all behind there.
So the city owns all that? Really? That's interesting.
So, yeah. Like, it's funny how, like, where we live, the back of High Popples and the back of Marble.
Right, it's all like...
There's like this pocket in between where the coyotes are.
Right.
And there's a little pond back there.
Yeah, I walked around through there.
Have you been through?
Yeah.
What's it like?
When my kids were little, it's just, you know, you're kind of on...
I wanted to take that walk through from, I think it's Sea View. Is that where you enter?
Well, where I used to enter was on Marble Road.
And to go to the other side.
To go to the other side. And then, so first on you're like on a trail. You're on all these nice trails, and it's very...
Are they established trails?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very, and I would most often go there in the wintertime, go for walks with the kids and stuff like that. And it goes behind that beautiful property Cranberry Knoll that is on the end of Way Road. It goes Page Street and then Way Road.
Okay.
And there's this beautiful mansion with a panoramic view of the ocean and then rolling hills and a barn. So it goes behind that property and then runs along a little stream and then like a nice little rocky outcropping area where people drink a lot, obviously. And then you keep on going and you end up on the streets kind of behind your new neighborhood, your old new neighborhood.
Right, it's like, I think it's Sea View.
Is it Sea View? So I don't really know.
Like, they built that like probably in the late 80s or something.
So once we would get out to the main roads, then we would turn around and go back anyway. So I'm not exactly... One time we were out there and we found like a little frog pond and...
I want to take that walk. Cool, like I mentioned it to Kate. She's like, there's the coyotes up there. They're not going to bother us.
Yeah, no, they're not.
I don't think they would
bother
us.
No, they were not going to.
You know what I mean?
Just walk with a stick anyways. No, big just stick. Joking.
Baseball bat. I'll send one of them into the next city.
Well, I hear them out there every night.
Oh, they're there.
There they are.
They're there. So that's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting. So what's surprising to me is they're talking about the entrance being on the High Popple side. Which would be like, that's kind of a...
That's kind
just
of
like a
weird.
Residential.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't see how... I don't know. Maybe, what do I know? Maybe it's all hearsay.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I think it's such a great central site where it is now. But it is.
It is a central site,
right.
But it's a one-way getting in and out every morning. Are you impacted by that or not?
No.
But those people that live on that street or Chapel, was it Church Street?
There's Chapel Street. Which one?
Chapel, and then there's Davis.
Right.
And Davis goes to the school, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But like, there's people lined up all along that road for drop off.
Yeah, but
isn't
it? I mean, it's like that at every school, every morning, isn't there?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a non-factor.
It's kind of it seems to me like every school I've ever dropped my child off at, there's, you know, a line to get, because it happens all at once.
Yeah. Well, I think nowadays too, like, it's more parents like drop, don't send their kids on the bus like they used to. Like, there's every parent has to like have contact with their child at every second because they're on top of them 24/7. They don't send them to walk to school anymore.
You know what was so awesome for my son Alex, who's very, very energetic, like super wonderfully energetic. I mean, I loved every bit of his energy. He I started walking to school with him, and then he would just be like a rocket. So he would like run to school every day. You know what I mean? And it's such a great, walking to school or running like Alex did, is such a great way for kids to get a little exercise and expend some energy in the morning before that they then, especially for little boys who I think find, find it a little bit more difficult to sit, you know what I mean, for long periods of time. So anyways.
Yeah. So I was at the beach the other day, and I ran late afternoon. I ran into a kid that I grew up with. And actually, he grew up right up the top of the hill here. Steve Rich. Steve Rich and his wife just started this little indie brewing, cold brew brewed coffee company.
Okay.
And it's called Twin Lights Coffee.
Oh.
TwinLightsCoffee.com.
I've had their stuff at the
farmer's market.
At the farmer's market.
Which one? Which farmer's
market? At the one in Rockport.
The Rockport one.
Right, the Rockport one.
They do several. I'm not sure which ones they're at and which ones they're not at.
Yep. No, but I had it at the Rockport one.
It's really smooth. It's fantastic. And you can, he serves it in mason jars.
Okay. And the mason jars have the name on it.
Yes.
That's really cute.
I spelled it. Yeah. Very cool logo. Yeah. Love the logo.
Yeah.
But I'll put a link on to this, and I'll read the story behind it. In 2005, Steve met Amy, who had just recently moved back from Portland, the coffee mecca of the U.S. Coffee quickly became Portland. Right. Every third store is a coffee
shop.
Coffee quickly became a hot topic between the two of them. When they married 2 years later, they found out they were having twins. The idea for
twins.
The idea for Twin Lights Coffee was born. They bought the domain name, and then and there, a dream for someday. Fast forward 8 years, Steven's still crazy about coffee, the craft, the process, and the product. He perfected a small batch cold brew recipe at home, rich, tasty, and so smooth it went down like iced velvet. He was so excited with the results, he mentioned it at his workout class more than a few times, until one day his friend said, "Well, bring it in."
and that's the birth of it.
So
and then how are their twins doing?
I don't know, I didn't see the twins, but it is a great product. And you should check out their website and support them at the whatever farmers market that they're at. They're doing quite a few farmers markets. They're doing the circuit.
You know that the farmers markets are the greatest incubators. I mean, look at Kate Gann. I mean, Inga started at a farmer's market, and look at her now. And she was so popular at the farmer's market.
I wish there was I think every town nowadays, they make it very difficult for people to open up, because you need all this stuff like grease traps and I wish there was like a community kitchen, because these people that have these small places that are producing things,
right,
to get started nowadays, it like takes people completely out of the equation, because no one can afford $75,000 or $100,000 to install
a commercial kitchen. Right.
So if you have a shared space that people pay into, and I think some communities have this.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. So that there can be more innovative things of people cooking. And I imagine that a tough part of it would be monitoring who's cleaning up.
Right, I was just going to say.
And, who's using what refrigerators for what, and, what space gets used. But, I think a big part of it
you could work all those details out, because I think it's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because, it just completely stifles anybody from getting off the ground.
If you have to put in a commercial kitchen.
Yeah, it ends up being, what ends up happening is it just goes more and more towards corporate everything. Because the only people that can get stuff done are people with deep, huge deep pockets.
Pockets, right.
You know? when you have shared, when they could start out in a place like this,
see
how their business goes, then they can show earnings and then go for a loan. You know, they say, oh, we have a viable business. There is demand for my product. Take the next step and maybe go and get the grease traps or rent a place that has that kind of thing.
Are most, I wonder if churches, because churches always have great big kitchens, and I wonder if most of them are commercial grade where you could
work with your community. I feel like there's probably these places that are grandfathered and they don't break their balls, you know. And
then right.
Someone that starts out, that, you know, they're going to make them do more than someone that's already been doing it forever. I don't know. I really don't know exactly how it works. But is that how we do? We get to that topic from the coffee guy. I don't know.
Yes.
Anyway, there you go. So good luck. Check out
Twin Lights Coffee.
And there's an S at the end of Twin Lights. TwinLightsCoffee.com.
Boy, I'm gonna go home and make some cold brew coffee.
Cold brew coffee is.
I forgot about it.
That thing that you got me. Do you know how much use that thing has gotten? The Breville, the pour over ceramic thing, right? You got it for me for like Christmas. I think it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's seeing use like
every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so simple.
Yeah, I know. I bought one for each of the kids, and I use Alex's all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, cause it's quick. Microwave. You know, it's great. I got that little coffee pot right there.
It just
warms coffee.
It's not a percolator.
No, it's not a percolator.
Oh,
it just warms water. It gets you boiling water in less than a minute or something. And so my process is super simple.
Yeah, then you've got it down to a little science here.
Wow. Coffee maker. Okay, I'm typing in as we know.
It's Bonavita, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, Bonavita.
I say Breville. It's Bonavita.
That threw me off. I wasn't sure what you meant. But I think it's Bonavita.
Is it two words?
Bonavita.
It's Bonavita.
Bonavita.
Pour over coffee maker.
Okay.
There we go. This week, so I've been I've wanted a pellet stove, and I've really been obsessed with a pellet stove.
Right.
So I went over and I talked to the guy at Cape Ann. I've done this series for a while at Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth with the Alternative Energy Series. Yep. They were a big part of it. They had those bio bricks that you could burn and all these different things to heat your house.
Right.
Kate's father is a big pellet stove guy. He heats his whole house with a pellet stove. They barely burn in. They don't get like more than a tank of oil for their big house in Hamilton. And a whole season they'll go.
Maybe I should just have them come to our house, because I really don't know where we would put one. You know what I mean?
Do you have a chimney?
Yeah, but it's in the center of the living room, and it's a coal burning chimney, which was a lot narrower than, and it's used now for our oil heat to ventilate our oil heat. So. I think so.
What do you mean? The chimney's used to ventilate the oil?
The chimney, that's where the, the oil burner, it has to be ventilated somehow. So our oil burner is ventilated through our old chimney. Our house was built in 1851. So it never burned, you could never burn, in our fireplaces, you could never burn wood. It was probably like cutting edge coal, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So the chimney stacks are much narrower. And you can't, and they always had, like in the face of them, they always had like a little grate because it was coal heated.
Okay, so they have, so what I plan to get in mind, the house that Kate and I got, they have there's a big chimney in the middle of the house.
Okay.
But it's a good size. It was
like
built
for
fireplace.
Right, fireplace.
And they have these pellet stoves, they have inserts that it actually goes into the fireplace.
Oh, wow.
And you load it from the front, and it has like a hopper, and you pour the pellets in, and you let it rip. And they line the chimney with this called flex pipe.
Okay.
And the flex pipe is like a stainless steel flex pipe that goes down, and it just, there's a collar, and it
Right.
Zips right on there. Like, and I've seen videos. It looks like I could do it, right. And I'm not.
And then once you have it outfitted for that, then you can't burn wood in it, right? Is that right?
The pellet stove, you would use. So in that fireplace,
okay.
You'd use it for, you make a decision. So okay, you'd use it for a pellet stove.
For pellet stove, right.
I'm not sure what the rules are if you have an oil vent going up the chimney, but in the downstairs, so there's two flues in this house because it's a big chimney.
Right.
Downstairs, I'm putting a wood-burning stove.
Okay.
And the wood-burning stove is, the reasoning is that if you need electricity to run the pellet stove.
Right. Oh, okay.
Wood-burning stove, you just,
okay.
You know, in right. the case of a long power outage,
right.
You heat the house, you don't burn, you don't burst the pipes.
Right, great.
And I just love a wood fire. So Bob, the guy at Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth, and Luke, they've been advising me on what to do. And you know what? They were just on the wood burning stove. They said to me, you know, you can get this one; it's this much money. But if you can find one on Craigslist, I'll do the install for you, and I'll do the chimney, you know, the chimney work for you.
Wow.
Which made me, you know, really think, what a reputable place this is.
Right.
Here's the guy advising me.
Right, to go off-site,
you know what I mean? Like,
to get that.
If you can get one, you know, do this. So it just gave all kinds of props to, in my mind, that doing local business. And
it's the classic story of, you know, that film Miracle on 34th Street. Do you know that story? It's where Santa Claus tells people to go, because it's all about Macy's and Macy's Day Parade and stuff like that. And Santa says, oh, well, we don't have it, but you can go to Gimbel's or whatever the store was across the street. And so at first the higher-ups were having a heart attack that Santa Claus was sending, you know, people to another shop. But then they realized what a great, wonderful thing it was that he was doing. And because then it brought people, more people
in. Because they thought he was such a nice guy.
They thought Macy's was such a cool place that he would do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I couldn't be happier. So I went up after work. So I found one on, I found a wood stove on Craigslist.
Oh,
someone
was
kind of basically.
Oh, did you post about that?
Yeah, they're like, come and get it.
Yeah.
And
take it away.
Because these people were moving to Florida.
Okay.
So I went after work. We got out at like 6:30 and we drove up, and a nice guy came with me. Because I needed some.
Yeah.
They weigh a ton.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, a little struggle. Got it out there, put it on a pallet, and they said, "We got all this extra wood. You know, do you want the wood?" So it's like, so by the time I got there, it was in Pepperell, Mass, which I'd never been to Pepperell. Pepperell's a really cute town. Have you been there?
Yeah, I have. I gave a lecture there.
It's a cute town.
Yeah,
I never thought that it was such a cute town out there. I thought it was just all the sticks.
You know what? It's all cute towns out there. Like, I find that
totally livable. I think these places are going to be the next big thing, that they're building these communities. And it's like, they look like some nice restaurants there. They had nice open fields and nice grounds for football fields. And I guess we can't play football anymore. Actually, for soccer fields, because we can't play football because everybody gets a concussion. Anyway.
People can get concussions in soccer, too.
I know. But if you say you want to watch football, you're like a Cro-Magnon man. You can't like football. So anyway, getting off topic. So I went out there. And I got like a low. I got like a 2/3 of a cord of seasoned wood.
Oh my gosh!
And so then I bring it back. I got the thing.
It's so funny that you haven't even moved into the house yet, and you're just so excited. And
I'm more excited for the wood stove and the pellet stove than anything else. I've always wanted one. I mean, I've always, always, always wanted one. Because I just want to be warm. The lesson was, I had this big house, and like, we kept the heat down. And there's like, I have this big house that I'm miserable because I'm freezing all the time because I'm trying to save money.
Right.
The lesson is, I want a moderate size house that I can heat and not freeze. And when I get off the dock, the 18 inches of cement that is a block of ice all winter long that I'm stepping on, I want to be warm. So I'm all about It could be Joey the Lumberjack. I'm like researching like wood splitting. I just want to get my wood for free. All this stuff. So it's but anyway, Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth.
I know what to get you for Christmas or your birthday.
I have an axe, so don't give me an axe.
No, a red flannel
shirt. Yeah. Flannel shirt. Lumberjack Joe. Well, that's very in right now with all the hipsters. It's like a lumberjack sexual, they call it, or something.
You know what? When you're in Brooklyn, when I'm visiting Brooklyn,
skinny jeans with Carhartts with the lumberjack shirt.
It looks kind of like, I don't know, it looks like Portland or something.
They're trying to be Portland. No, that's the thing, isn't it? These guys that work in offices on their off days. It's the same thing in Gloucester. Like the guys that work in offices, they come to Gloucester and they wear the Carhartts and the ship. You know, they're all shipwrights. They come to Gloucester and they're shipwrights. They move here and they're all shipwrights. And they're identifying with outdoorsy lumberjacks because they have soft hands, but they want to seem. You know, they want to project that they're. They're manly men working with their hands.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Sorry.
Soft. Anyway, so I'm all about it. I can't. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Have I plugged Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth enough yet? Because I really love that.
I've always wanted that too, and I think the best place in our house would be if I. We have one window in the dining room. I'd love to have it in the dining room because I think that would be so cozy to have it in the dining room because then it would also heat the living room. But
your house is fairly open. The heat would be perfect.
It would be perfect. And then
do you have registers in the floor?
No, we don't have registers in the floor. What do we have? Radiators.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. The radiators are great.
I'm sure.
Because it's not very dry. I mean, it's kind of moist heat. Radiators are like not super drying. And they heat up, and then I put marble slabs on top of all of them, which also adds to the heat. So the marble.
Because that heats up, it holds the heat for longer and radiates. Yeah.
And then it makes a little shelf as well. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Hey, can I ask you a question about countertops? Is marble stains really, really easily? Or is it tough to stain?
It's tough to stain. It's not as tough as granite. So granite is the toughest. Marble is second. But I personally like marble better. So
marble's hot right now.
I've always liked marble. I've liked it for 100 years because I love the look of that kind of. I like especially the white Carrara marble.
The white Carrara marble wasn't that popular in the 70s, when they were doing like that.
Well, I'm thinking of it more like I'm thinking of it more like the 1920s. And like late 1800s, they would use that a lot in kitchens. And I think it has a very fresh look to it.
It's fresh right now.
Yeah,
it's been fresh for a couple of years.
Yeah,
if you look at all the home renovation things, they use
white Carrara, and also it just looks really nice because if you have white everybody loves white cabinets with the glass the glass doors, and it
then
just
you can
looks
see all the okay, funny here, funny story. So speaking of the glass doored cabinets, they when you look in the magazines,
right, they look beautiful.
They look fabulous, and they have like four of the same exact glassware in there, and they're all placed perfectly in the middle of the.
That's why this is why we've never done it in our family because we have such.
Because the shit that's that lays behind those cabinet doors. So Kate was Kate stopped in at IKEA last week and she bought.
They have great kitchens at IKEA. Are you guys looking at
IKEA? No, not for kitchens, she came home with this cheap kind of plastic what do you call it the dustpan.
Yeah.
And she brought it home and it's like a royal blue color.
Right.
And I said to her, "What are you doing with that?" I said, "What are we going to do?" I says, I'm like, "We're not filling this house with shit. Like disposable shit." Yeah. I says,
metal dustpan.
We're getting because I know the one that I want. They have it at Home Depot. It's like industrial. It's it's 16 inches wide. Yeah. And it has a hardcore lip right there.
I feel for Kate, though. It's very hard to go to IKEA and not come home with something.
She got some cool stuff, too. Yeah. She got some very cool stuff. But, when we move in there, all of the mismatched bullshit plastic cups that we have are
going in the garbage.
They're going in the garbage. Yeah. We're going to have nice... matching sets of glassware. Right. They don't have to be expensive, but they need to be matching. And they're not primary colors. All primary colors are going to be banned from my house. Banned, I tell
except
you.
Except for blue, right?
No, cobalt blue. Is like, yeah. I'm on a search right now for 20-ounce cobalt blue glasses with heft. That's my thing right now. I don't like glass. I don't want any glasses in my house, 6 ounce or 8 ounce glasses, because they don't get used. I want 20 ounce glasses, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get one of these. How many ounces is that?
This is 30 ounces.
30 ounces.
You have not got one of these yet. No, not heard me pontificating about the beauty of my stainless steel tumbler?
Like 3 times I've clicked on the link, and then I get distracted doing something else. So
it's the greatest thing ever.
I know. It looks like the greatest thing. I love
the idea. I filled it at 10 a.m. one day. I left it in my truck.
Ooh, a hot truck,
yeah, too. In the heat wave, right? Last week's heat wave, right. It was 90 plus. The next day at 11 a.m., there was ice at the bottom of this thing.
Okay.
Right. It's crazy. I've never backed a product the way I backed this product.
Well, also, I liked how you were talking about no condensation. So I could even have that on my office desk, because you know how I've all
on your
that
office, when you go to bed at night?
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Right.
Because you go to bed, waking up to, and you're going to have a big puddle. Right. And if you have any papers there, they get saturated. Yeah. Everything else.
Yeah.
On your desk.
On my desk.
Same thing.
That's what. And also, I'm always worried about my external hard drives. You know what
totally.
I mean?
So it's a no-brainer. Oh, my God. I forgot to. I didn't even have that in the show notes.
Okay, we better add it.
I feel like I've beaten it to death. So, like, but obviously, you haven't got one yet, so I haven't beaten
you
it.
You haven't
to death
beaten
yet.
It to
I haven't,
death.
I haven't sub, you haven't submitted. It is. When I say it's a no-brainer, you got to do it. I don't put my name behind something. When I say it's a no-brainer, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
Like I never say if the words no-brainer are in a post, I 100% stand behind it. It's because I am excited about something.
All right. So from now on, I won't even look at the product. I'll just say, "Oh, Joey said no-brainer."
But because it's also going to be a value. Like I don't like back something if it's not a good value too.
Well, it comes in its other prices as well. Your price is the best. Your $16.95 price.
The $16.95 with two lids.
Mm-hmm.
The locking lid.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay. All right.
Well, Kate didn't either because she just ordered 3 of them and she got the more expensive one from the old link that only had
sure I go to the newest link.
The newest link.
Okay.
That's
right.
the
Okay, are you going to put that newest link up there?
I guess I'll have to. Anyway, yeah. So I didn't want to talk because I felt like I was being obnoxious about it. But this is all on you.
Okay.
I wasn't going to talk. It wasn't in the show notes. Now it's in the show notes.
Now it's in
because
the show notes again.
All right. Did we talk about the pasta place yet?
Yes, we did.
In the podcast?
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yes, you were describing where it is, the address,
okay, we did talk about,
and
okay,
the cheese.
That's what
we
make sure.
Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about Anna Solomon's Leaving Lucy Pear book.
Okay. Well, it's a beautiful book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I thought I'd actually get my copy because Tuesday night she's having a book launch at the Rocky Neck Cultural Center. And it's also done in conjunction with the Gloucester Bookstore, the Bookstore of Gloucester, and the Eastern Point Lighthouse. So I'm super excited to go. I think it's going to be a really fun event. And the book is getting great kudos from all around the country. Time Magazine, you know, everybody's calling it a must-read summary.
Time Magazine?
Yes.
Where's the lady from?
Well, she's originally from Gloucester.
Oh, there you go.
So from she's...
How come she's not on our podcast right now? What's that all about?
What's that? Oh dear, I really fell down, didn't I?
You did.
Hmm.
No, did you? Have you been talking to this lady and you didn't invite her on the podcast?
No, but you know what?
Sent the press release to us about this?
Nobody. I just found the information on Facebook.
Are you going to pass that?
Yeah. You know what we could do is, because she has like 2 more events coming up here. So
she's selling out to come on the podcast.
Yes, that would be awesome if we could get
her. She needs to come on.
Yes, okay.
What's her name? Anna Solomon.
Anna Solomon, Leaving Lucy Pear is the name of the book. And
the book launch, Tuesday night, August 2nd. And where is the book launch?
At the Rocky Neck Cultural Center.
Oh,
There and let me see. I have the time. I think it's 7:30. 7:30.
Rocky Neck Cultural Center.
And the book is set in Gloucester. That's the fun thing. In the 1920s, during this really fun period. So,
yeah. I'm so upset that she's not here.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Because August 2nd is, by the next time we do another podcast, it's going to be past the launch.
But she has two more events coming up. Two more events.
All right.
Okay, so, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm joking. No, it would have been cool.
No, it would have been great. Yeah. She lives in Brooklyn.
These writers are always great guests.
Yeah.
Whenever we have writers on, they're great guests.
And she sounds like a really interesting person.
Yeah.
And maybe
I thought that the lady was Jim Dowd. You did a post, and it was Jim Dowd's wife in the post. I thought that was the lady.
The lady.
Jim Dowd's wife was excited about it.
Yeah, well, it's her cousin. So maybe we can get Jim and Sharon on as well.
I would love that.
That would be so much fun.
Speaking of a podcast with Jim Dowd.
Yes.
Segway City. Jim was on the podcast a couple weeks ago now, right?
Was it last week?
I don't know. I lose track this time of year. But I don't know if he reached out to me or if I reached out to him and said, do you want to do like a nerdy tech podcast?
Yeah, that would be so fun.
So,
are you going to just like review all?
Well, it's like all kinds of techie, kind of geeky, stuff and innovational stuff based out of Gloucester. Jim really wants it to be more. I think he wants.
He wants it to be Gloucester centric.
A little bit of Gloucester centric, like businesses are using interesting technology around here and stuff. So super. I didn't realize this.
That sounds great.
Did you know, he was telling, so we have an actual little Google document that we're building the show notes together right now, and we can both interact at different places on it. What I didn't realize is that the K-Band TV, they built a podcasting studio there.
They did?
You didn't know that either?
No.
This is what he told me.
Really? So when did they do that?
But like not for video, for audio.
Yeah, when did they do that?
I don't know, but this is what he told me. So
do they? Because sometimes they send me press releases of things going on, but I haven't been getting things lately. Have you been getting stuff lately?
I don't want to say yes or no because I'm so busy right now that like so much slips past me because. I'm just trying to. I'm in survival mode right now.
I'll check in with Lisa. I'll check in with Lisa.
Check in with Lisa if they. I'd like to have Lisa on.
Yeah, well, she's so.
She's another person we could have as a guest. I know she's always busy. She always seems frazzled and she's like too busy.
No,
I would love to have
on Sunday. She's not working on Sunday. That would be awesome. Here, can I use your pen and I'll write this down.
So Becky Tober, any of them.
Okay.
Here's a pen if you want a pen.
Oh, no, this is fine. Okay.
Yeah, okay, these are the guests I want. You're my producer.
Okay. Right?
Kim, my producer that doesn't really produce. I do the producer. Joking. So we want
Anna Solomon.
Anna Solomon.
Yeah.
And we want
Lisa Smith. And K-Band TV.
Anyone from K-Band TV that wants to talk about the cool stuff that's happening at K-Band TV, especially in regards to their podcasting studio. Okay.
And then that.
So I want to utilize that.
Well, and then we can. I also want to ask the Annisquam Village Players because for their show coming up, a couple of them. Yeah. That would be
a lot of them because they could take over. We don't want them talk. We can't talk for 45 minutes about a play.
Okay.
Talk about a 10-minute segment.
But there's so much other stuff that goes on with that play. That play has been going on. That's the oldest, longest-running summer.
Is it Jay DePrima? Who's the guy?
No, Terry Sands.
Terry Sands.
Terry Sands and Mary Curtis have been the co-directors for, I don't know, I would say like 30 years or something like that. Mm. But it's the oldest continuous-running summer theater in the country, I believe. They've been having...
That's incredible.
They have a play every single summer.
What's the theater in the Pines? Who does that one?
I forget the woman's name. Yeah, I forget her name. Sorry.
People get excited for that one, too.
Yeah. That's an awesome thing to go and see. Because it's like a natural amphitheater.
Where is it?
It's out in the woods.
In Gloucester?
No, in Rockport.
Oh, okay.
It's in Rockport. It's very cool.
Yeah. Is it dug out for as the amphitheater? I'd like to see pictures.
I think it's just like a natural shape. I mean,
it's too bad they don't send us pictures. I'd like to see pictures from one of the productions.
Yeah. Well, it's usually dark in the woods, so maybe that's
But nowadays, the cameras nowadays, you can take pictures in almost the dark the way that if you have a tripod, right? So Annisquam Village Players Beauty and the Beast opens August 9th and runs to the 14th,
yes,
right?
And buy your tickets now. Buy your tickets now.
And so we have a link to where you can get the tickets. Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes. This year
is
Beauty
and
the Beach. What?
Beauty and the Beast. Wonderful cast. Wonderful cast. Great.
I think I said Beauty and the Beach.
I guess somebody's thinking about the beach.
That'd be Kate yesterday with Beauty and the Beach. My Kate.
What beach were you guys at yesterday?
Niles. Niles is my preferred beach.
Yes.
But it's literally a mile and a half from the house.
Right. It's Tom's preferred beach, but right now, because of my back, I go swimming at the end of the day, and it's really hard for me to get onto Niles, so I just...
hard to get on Niles? What are you talking about? You walk right down the... It's
the soft
level.
Soft sand. Yeah.
Oh, that's
really
crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about Niles. I was there yesterday. I've been there a couple times this year now, which I've been to the beach probably four times this year.
Which is more than
I've been in the last 15 years.
Right.
In the summer. So, the thing is, Niles really is very rocky.
Yes.
I mean, which is probably good in a way because it keeps a lot of people from going to Niles.
From it being super, super crowded.
It wasn't overcrowded.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to walk very far from where you park, especially if you have a beach sticker.
Nice.
And I just love it there.
Tom goes swimming there every day.
Like every day? It's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
how does his feet hold up? Or does he wear his sandals right to the edge of to the thing? Or has he just got tough feet?
I never asked him because he usually goes in the middle of the day. Like, you know, he'll go like at 2 in the afternoon. He'll go, he swims up and down the lane. You know, he swims up and down a couple times. But lately, what I was saying is lately he's been helping me over to Good Harbor Beach. Because you can park down at the residential area and get right on the beach, and then the sand is hard on Niles Beach. I mean, on Good Harbor. Yeah, Good Harbor.
The residential area. What do you call the residential area? Which side? Towards the footbridge or away from the footbridge?
On the opposite side,
Where do you park over there?
There's like a whole little road. You can just park
there. You can park on that road?
Mm-hmm. If you have a beach sticker.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, resident beach sticker. Yeah.
And there's spots over there?
Well, we go at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go. Yep.
That's my favorite time to swim because the...
I should go to... You know, I haven't been to Good Harbor forever. I should go. The sand is much nicer.
I've been spending a lot of time at Good Harbor because of the plover film. I know, but guess what happened the other day? So, because I'm telling the story about Good Harbor in the film too, because it's I call it the people's beach in the film because it's just used by so many people for so many different things. Mm. It's awesome that way. It's like the most democratic beach I think that there ever was. So I always have my camera with me, and so we're walking down the little area, and there's the big blue Good Harbor Beach sign, and guess what was there at the base of the sign, nectaring from the wildflowers, a hummingbird. So I filmed a hummingbird flying around "Welcome to Good Harbor Beach" sign.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be beautiful in the film?
Nice,
it's going to be beautiful.
Are hummingbirds rare?
No, but it's just, I'm trying to show
the way
off.
It framed?
Yeah, the way it framed, "Welcome to Good Harbor Beach," and there's a little hummingbird flying around. So it's just going to,
hummingbirds are cool. I'm surprised you don't see them more often.
Yeah, well, they're around. They're just very...
Do you have to set up a certain type of feeder?
Yes.
And if you set up a certain amount of feeder, you'd be more apt to see them?
Yes, and also if you plant certain flowers they love. So 80% or about 60 to 80% of a hummingbird's diet is insects. So if you have flowers with tiny tiny little heads, like, Queen Anne's lace, tiny little florets, that attracts tiny little insects, which will help attract... the hummingbirds.
I don't want insects.
But also...
I don't want insects.
No, but also mostly red tubular-shaped flowers or most any kind of tubular-shaped flower will bring hummingbirds.
What are you saying? Because they're going to be insects?
No.
I want the hummingbirds minus the insects.
Okay,
Is that possible?
Yes. Then plant some honeysuckle in your new house.
Okay.
Some red-flowered honeysuckle, the native honeysuckle, and... put out a hummingbird feeder, and you'll get hummingbirds.
Okay. How about blue jays? How do I get them around? I like blue jays.
Yeah, blue jays are pretty awesome birds, too, I think.
I think they're the prettiest.
Yeah. They.
Is there anything in particular that they like?
I just read about that, and now I can't remember what it was.
We have
I know what it is. Oaks. acorns and things like that. They love acorn nuts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think I'm remembering that right. Yeah. They love acorns. Yeah, because I was seeing a lot of blue jays around our yard, and I was working at a property that had acorns, so I collected a whole bunch of acorns and put them in the yard, but I can't tell if they were coming for the acorns or for the blueberries that I was putting out for the catbirds, so I don't know what they were there for.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love blue jays too.
Blue jays are gorgeous. Yeah. I think that they're the...
And blue birds. I remember a photo that you posted from your house in Hamilton where you had, it was extraordinary, you had a male and a female bluebird in your garden in Hamilton. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Wonderful shot to have both, the male and the female.
Yeah, I think that the, the house that we're getting has, the guy is such a great guy, old Italian guy, has the house, and he has all these gardens, and there's like a lot of little gardens and with different ornamentals and different kind of trees, and there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I just like, I'm more of a simple guy, like, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, my favorite kind of thing is the hydrangeas, but you only get the hydrangeas for a certain amount of time, and then all winter they kind of look like crap.
Well, it depends on what kind of hydrangea you get.
I like the blue hydrangeas.
The blue hydrangeas. So the kind of blue hydrangea that you want is called Endless Summer. So I'll try to explain something without boring you too much.
But yeah, go quick.
Okay, I'll try to do it quick. So if you go to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket, you see lots of big, blousy, you know, blue-flowered hydrangeas. They're very successful there. And that flower is Nikko Blue. And people used to plant that all the time here and go, well, how come I'm not getting very many blue flowers? Because Nikko Blue blooms on the previous year's growth. So then the hybridizers got together and they figured out this new version called Endless Summer, which blooms on last year's growth and current wood. So that way you're insured blossoms. So the kind you want, if you want blue hydrangeas for your new house, is Endless Summer. That is the variety that you want, without a doubt. And that way you'll be guaranteed blooms. And then you can, because it blooms on the current year's growth, you can cut them down. It's not like with Nikko Blue, you could never cut it down because it was blooming on the previous year's growth. With Endless Summer, you want to cut it down.
Do they come with gardeners? Can you get those with gardeners that kind of weed for you and stuff like that?
No.
I'm horrified about the whole gardening.
Garden thing. You'll have fun.
Yeah.
I know. You're not going to have time. It takes a lot of time. You're not going to have any time.
I want to talk about my new discovery. I feel cheated, but I haven't gone here
soon.
The Pigeon Cove Tavern. There's a bunch of different things I want to talk about this place. First of all, I was a fan of Doug Pappos when he was at
Foreign Affairs.
He had long hiatus. He turns up at this place in Rockport. And so we go, Kate and I ended up going, I'd never been to the Emerson Inn. I'd never been there. So I don't know what it looked like before.
All right.
But it reminds me of a much smaller version of the Mount Washington Hotel.
In New Hampshire, that one, right?
Seagulls.
That singing noise is seagulls?
There's a seagull, yeah. There's a seagull. So, you know, that grand kind of like big porches, wide porches and stuff like that.
That's what gives it the similar.
And the squared off like columns of the railings that go around the place and stuff. You know, the white layers upon layers of paint that are not sanded down so you can still see.
It
has a lot of character to it and stuff. But you go inside and it's updated to more mod, like they kept the integrity of the period of the architectural detail.
Yeah.
But the carpets and the upholstery and the glassware and all the stuff that they use, it's like more modern
and classic,
oh, nice. Timeless, beautiful. Oh. It's like the best of what I've said for the last 6 or 7 years now, all these old inns that keep that I call. I know you're gonna. You can correct me if you want, but like, don't you say fusty? Right. But like, the way I'm gonna describe it is like colonial, like
Victorian. Colonial meets Victorian.
meets Victorian, like old furniture, like you know, like that. Yeah. Uncomfortable, yeah. Like you know, the wooden furniture and stuff like that. Like this is up, like kind of just great furniture, great
comfortable,
but yes. Like really classic patterns. So you get
well. That's very different from what it did look like because I had been to the Emerson. Tom's parents loved to go there, and the dining room, you know, big and beautiful and grand, but the furnishings were very old and. Mm-hmm.
So the 2015, the Emerson Inn was purchased by the Migis MIGIS Hotel Group, and they again renovating the inn to further own its historic charm and local character. This is from their website. And they rebranded and reopened the Pigeon Cove Tavern, an ode to the legacy of the Norwood family and the original Pigeon Cove House. Okay. So, this
because it was a tavern for originally it was a tavern, and right, and then Hannah Jumper came and destroyed all, you know, didn't allow distilled
booze.
Right. Alcohol any longer, so then they had to revert to turning it into a cafe. You know, they instead of now being was a tavern for many years, then it became a guest house.
Right.
So,
but here's the thing: like you hear the words Pigeon Cove Tavern,
right?
And I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect. The style of cuisine that Doug is putting out, because Doug is a very creative, innovative, using all local,
super fresh,
awesome fresh ingredients and presenting them in a super creative way. Tavern to me like speaks to like all the like Fridays, you know what I mean? Like these places with the
in Boston, tavern at the Lenox Hotel
that's been redone a million times.
Right.
And it's kind of like a misnomer to me, like because it deserves
a better, fresher name.
But that's not a knock on them.
No.
You know what I mean?
It goes to the historical.
I just want people to realize that
it's not a tavern.
Yeah, not so much a tavern.
Okay.
It's an awesome dining. And so there's a big space inside with big tall ceilings, really cool laid out, nice furnishings. And then there's a huge outdoor deck overlooking the water. I would be fine seating at either place. And I just think that people need to check this place out.
Okay.
Like, we've had some real big hits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Tono, big hit.
Tom and I might go to this restaurant. We have reservation. I don't know if I can sit that long, but it's called River Bend in Essex.
Right, Frank McClellan's place.
Yes.
And I'm hearing great things about that.
I think that just opened on Friday, didn't it? I don't know how we got a reservation on Sunday. I called on Friday and
it opened, I think, to the public on Friday. We were invited on Thursday to friends and family. We couldn't go.
Okay.
Kate had the bear, so we didn't go.
Okay.
But I heard Ken Lawler, who comments on a lot of the stuff on my social media, said they went and they had a fantastic meal. I saw some pictures inside. Another beautiful room.
Okay.
And that guy, Frank McClellan, is a world-renowned chef.
Oh, my God, he's amazing.
Have you had his food?
I've eaten it.
Did you go to his Apple Street Farms for one of those farm-to-table deals?
No, but I went there and photographed for them one time. But I have eaten at L'Espalier several times in Boston.
So he was the head chef there? He was the guy that put that on the...
Yeah,
he owned it?
He owned it.
Of course,
it.
That was his claim to fame, and then...
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And that is an amazing restaurant, so...
I don't want to misspell his name. Do you know how to spell his name? I'll look it up.
You better look it up.
And
also, I think it's I mentioned his wife, Heather, because I think they're doing this together. I think Frank McKellen and his wife, Heather, are doing it together.
Okay. And wife, Heather. Oh, this morning. Speaking of like giving women their due and stuff, this morning I was on. I saw some video on YouTube, and it was inappropriate scenes from James Bond movies back. And there was like, there's probably 10 different scenes of James Bond that by today, like the scenes,
by
today's standards, they would have hung, whole franchise would not be in existence today if, like, the lines that they were saying, you know, demeaning, you know, like,
they would have just
the guy, you know, Bond forcing himself on women.
Right.
Bond, like, you know, the girl comes out and she's a doctor and he says, a woman? You're a woman and you're a doctor or something like that. Right. Like, there was, like, literally 10 of these scenes that, I mean, I kind of laugh about it, but I imagine these feminists are, like, just, like,
I think you just put it in the era that it was, you know, created.
Yeah, it was a different time. But
yeah,
just like, this is an American iconic, like, you know, like, franchise.
And I wonder how, because, like, Tom's a huge Ian Fleming fan, and he has all his books and has reread them many, many times. And the books are always different. So I'm wondering, I'll ask him about that, like, how far does the book stray from the personification in the movies? You know what I mean? Like, is the book as equally as... Are the books equally as sexist as the films?
Oh, God.
That would be a good question for him.
It was like, I don't know.
Are you going to put that link in?
I'm putting it in because it's interesting for conversation for people to see this.
But see, that's interesting, too, that he says, like, a doctor, you're a woman and you're a doctor, but perhaps that was kind of a good thing in a way, because most doctors on television and film would have been portrayed as men.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, kind of in a way, it's kind of creating a little bit of a...
Dialogue
and bringing to the fore that, yes, women can be doctors, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously now, right?
We don't have but I mean back then.
So are you saying...
Yeah, maybe it was.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think, because they always wanted James Bond to seem like the super... No, this is... Yeah. I disagree, and I'm going to say why. Archie Bunker was a completely... You know, he... It was conscious, because Archie Bunker was made by a Jewish guy. Like what was the guy's name? I forget. The guy that produced it or whatever was a Jewish guy.
Okay.
And Archie Bunker was a character by Carol, you know, and it, that was supposed to be so outlandish that you got that this is ridiculous behavior. To say these things is ridiculous behavior. They weren't, I don't think that they were trying to make James Bond to look like
ignorant guy. Think so, but, you know, it would be interesting to... It would be interesting to find out, like, how it compares to the books.
Yeah, yeah.
How Ian Fleming intended.
Tell Tom to look at it and then give us his take on it. Because he's read and reread these books and he would not.
He's very familiar with the films and the books.
There you go. You mentioned this earlier. Nathan Brackett, executive editor of Rolling Stone magazine and Rockport native, is speaking on music and media at the Rockport Public Library Monday, August 8th at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting to a lot of people. Is Tom going?
I don't know if he is. I just learned about it yesterday, so I haven't mentioned it to him. But he may very well be interested.
All right. So. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a good glass, guys. We're coming up on an hour, and it's just the two of us.
I know.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm glad that you always come. I really do appreciate that you always come. Oh, we missed Catherine. We thought Catherine would be here. We missed our buddy Donna. We haven't seen Donna for a while, but I think Donna's got some stuff going on, so... Yeah.
I love when Catherine comes with her boys too. That's fun also.
Yeah, they're good. They're well-behaved kids.
Yeah.
They're really good kids.
Well, they contribute to, I think.
Yeah, young perspective, right?
Yeah.
All right. GloucesterCast 194. And the background music is playing. Kisper, thanks for coming.
Okay, thanks, Joe.